Good morning. We are back. And this is the Morning Voice, and I'm your host every Thursday. Actually, I'm your host. And today we're going to talk about baseball. I hope you're listening for the right reason today, and that right reason is the return of professional baseball. And I have some real stars here as part of my guests that were very instrumental to make this happen. And they're also friends as well and work associates. And we have in the studio Blake Eager. Good morning, Blake.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Go ahead and get that microphone right there in front.
Now can you hear me? Good morning, Tom. I got to fix my posture. Now I got to sit upright. Oh, man, you're ruining my morning already.
That's right. We are the perfect radio host, but now we're on YouTube, and we're on Facebook television. So, yes, we did take a shower and combed our hair this morning, so we're in good shape. Now, we got a guy that I don't know what he did, but he's on the telephone, and that's Mike Fader. Mike, good morning.
You don't know what I did?
Well, you walked your dog. I know that. So.
Oh, I did that earlier. I was ready to get up, just like Blake said, and I thought I was going to be on Zoom, and I needed to get presentable, and now all of a sudden I hear I'm just calling in, so all right. They're lucky. Not seeing me right now.
We'll be glad to paint a picture of you, Mike. You know, former.
That would be ugly.
So Mike and Blake have been very busy over the last, I guess I would say several years, many, many years, actually, because we were all involved in AAA baseball or spring training baseball. Or actually a baseball player. I think I hit all three of those. We weren't necessarily all three of those, but I'm sitting across a real live Major League Baseball player, Blake Eager, and he was a pitcher, made it into the big leagues. And myself, I never made it past college. Actually, I was so not part of the quality. They promoted me to fast pitch softball. So I don't know if that's a lateral move, Blake, or it's like get out of here kind of move. But
it's a harder sport.
Yeah. Well, it's harder to hit the ball, that's for sure, unless you're 95 miles per hour coming at you. And Mike has had a tremendous successful career in baseball, leading the Toros and the Sidewinders, and helping out on the Padres, and starting the Vamos to Tucson, a Mexican Fiesta baseball held every October. So I'm not going to get into completely your bios because I'm going to let you share a few words about that. But we're here today, and we also have some really special guests coming in at 8 o'clock. Victor Cuevas Sr., Mike, thank you for helping me clarify that. And Frank's going to be here as well. And these are some of the primary leaders, I guess, behind the actual operations of the new Mexican baseball Tucson team that's coming. And playing actually at Keno Sports Complex. Now, today we were also going to have Sarah, Horvath? Yes. And, Blake is going to do a double duty today because we want to make sure that you not only hear the story about how this all came about, but we're going to start with the history of baseball. And Mr. Vimmerstedt, good morning as well.
Good morning, Tommy.
So Tim is our co-host. He jumps in there when we need clarification or I start to stutter. So Tim, you're on standby, and appreciate you being on the radio with us as well. So you join the ranks of Mike Fader being on the phone, but we're so happy all of you are here. And we're going to get right into it because we only have an hour to kind of, not even that, to talk about kind of like what all the things that led up to us bringing a professional baseball back to Tucson. But it really starts back, Mike, in 1946 when the Cleveland Indians were here at High Corbett Field. Can you take it from there?
Well, yeah, a long time ago. I mean, Tucson's had a great baseball history, and then, you know, the Tucson Toros were had a long, long history as well as a Triple-A team with numerous franchises with Houston Astros, Chicago White Sox, Texas Rangers. And, you know, so Tucson was and hopefully will be soon again a baseball town, and everybody knew it was a baseball town. We had one spring training team in the Cleveland Indians at High Corbett. Then along came the Arizona Diamondbacks in their initial season and Chicago White Sox to have their spring training here. And then, unfortunately, those teams left. And then so a lot of things have occurred since then. I mean, the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority, a little different than what Blake's now running, was instrumental in a lot of different things. I mean, we had spring training games. You know, there was efforts to bring teams from Japan and Korea after spring training left. Unfortunately, none of those worked out. But it's exciting just to know that people like Blake are trying to get this thing turned around and go another direction. I'm anxious to hear Frank Gomez and Victor Cuevas talk about their new exciting plans. But I quite honestly, I got tired of people asking me, well, when are we getting baseball back? Well, and this has occurred over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And I didn't have a good answer, really. And Blake, I don't know how much he can talk about, but actually tried and was working on bringing a Class A team here. Unfortunately, the politics got in the way of that one. Not local politics, but the national politics. And not government politics. Let's just say Major League Baseball. Sorry, Blake.
No, I didn't say it, Mike. You said it. I didn't say it. I'm not involved.
Okay. But there's been efforts made. People aren't sitting on their thumbs here. And then with some of the things that have occurred in 2011, the Tucson Padres were here for 2011, 2012, and 2013. We were San Diego Padres AAA team. And then in 2011, a guy by the name of Francisco Gomez reached out to me, cold called me, quite honestly, and just said, hey, I think I have something that you might be interested in. And I knew nothing about the Mexican Winter League, to be honest with you. You know, I had just got done running or in the process of running minor league baseball teams for over 30 years. And I said, well, tell me a little more about it. And so he told me. I then went on Google, which we all do nowadays, and looked it up. And I said, wow. And I watched some videos. I said, the excitement was unbelievable. I mean, it was such a great product. And quite honestly, it looked like something that was more fun than minor league baseball. Well, in 2011, the Tucson Padres staff, along with Francisco, brought the Mexican Winter League to Tucson to have their spring training. I say spring training because they're a winter league. So that would occur in September, early October. Hermosillo and Obregón have been part of the Mexican Baseball Fiesta Games every year, 13 years, and it just kept growing and growing. And you could just tell it was a fun product, but it still was only 4 days. And those 4 days were very enjoyable. Well, then things, we then, the Mexican Baseball Fiesta, and you'll get into it in the next hour, we expanded, and we went to Phoenix. We had games actually for a year in Las Vegas, a couple years in Vegas. We brought Mexican Winter League teams to Vegas, El Paso, Fresno. We had games in those different cities, and we just wanted to share the product. And I'm going to let Blake in a little while talk about the efforts of what's going on now to even expand it even in a greater way in the state of Arizona. And, you know, so the answer to my question, you know, long story short, and nothing short when I talk, but I didn't have a good answer. The answer was, I don't think we're ever going to get AAA baseball back. And I didn't want to say that, but nowadays a AAA team costs in excess of $20 million. I didn't see an owner bringing their franchise to Tucson or getting local ownership or some ownership to bring it in. So I knew that was out. And I just said, you know, hey, you got to come out to the Mexican Baseball Fiesta. And then fast forward, and you're going to hear today about a new product that in my opinion, is really exciting. And Blake played a big part in that, which I'm sure he'll get into. Blake and the Gomez family and things like that, you know. So here we sit, you know, now instead of all the people asking the question, what a shame we don't have baseball. Well, now they could do something about it. Now they have a chance to support this franchise, and we'll get into more of the logistics for sure in the second hour. Blake could touch on it a little as well.
Absolutely, Mike. We're going to be going to break in about 15 seconds here. This show is all about baseball, and we're talking a little bit about the history of baseball, how we try to keep baseball alive at Keno Sports Complex. Blake is up next, and we're going to talk. You're absolutely, Mike, correct regarding how the Vamos de Tucson has expanded into Southern Arizona, and I think this is really just spot on for one of Blake's mission is to help the Southern Arizona.
If I can interrupt quickly, I'm remiss in not talking about the spring training games.
Okay, we got to do that. Mike, we have to do that when we come back from the break, okay? So stand by. This is the Morning Voice, and we're on 10:30 a.m., the trusted local news and talk, and we'll be right back with Mike Fader to continue the story about spring training and a couple of games that we did to support a local community lady here that was involved in a tragic. Take care. I turn my mic on. There you are. I can hear myself. People tell me you don't really need to hear yourself because you keep talking. So how do you listen when you talk at the same time? Right, Mike? We're marketing guys, right? That's all I can tell you. Mike, you know, there's a couple of things. I know you want to get back on, and this is the Morning Voice, and we're here talking about baseball. And Blake Eager and Mike Fader are with me for the first hour, and then we're going to be going to two of the major principals that have not only been working hard to get a new professional baseball team here, but they're also live here and they're going to be operating the team. So that's really exciting when you have a total full commitment. But Mike, I also should have introduced you that, you know, but I think you brought it up that you ran the Toros, you ran the Sidewinders. Your bio that you didn't write, but Mr. AI wrote, it talks about your community and engagement with all the other things that you're doing. And you left town for a little bit, but you missed us, so you came back. And clearly, but you started Vamos de Tucson in the Mexican Fiesta, and that's been going on for how many years now?
Well, 13.
13 years. I didn't realize that. Did you, Blake?
I did, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it's extremely impressive.
Absolutely. But Blake, Mike, go ahead.
Blake, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Since you're sitting next to Tom, explain to him it's the Mexican Baseball Fiesta, not Mexican Fiesta Baseball.
Mexican Baseball Fiesta. MBF.
Dialexa, I think that's what you call it. Yeah, that's kind of reversed the words. But Mike, spring training. So Mike and I, in 1997, I came to town, I was at Old Tucson right after the fire, and we got introduced to all the baseball folks at the stadium and everything, and that's when Mike and I started our relationship, and so eager to listen to what we're trying to do at Old Tucson, and introduced me to the community, especially the sports community. And so, Mike, I know you wanted to share the success story. Now, I didn't realize, and I must have forgot, that were the Diamondbacks here for 1 year without the Chicago White Sox? Or they here at the same time? 1998, right?
When the Diamondbacks left, so did the White Sox, and they went to the new complex.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about when they left, because that's a memory I don't want to... I'm taking that memory out. It's when they came. I know the two Jerrys were best of friends, I understand.
Right. And they came at the same time.
Okay,
1998. We, AAA team, actually had an association with, at the time, the Milwaukee Brewers, and we had a young man by the name of Travis Lee, who was Diamondback's property. They did not have a AAA team at the time. And then so Travis played for our Santoro's team. But, you know, so, you know, just for the White Sox were here just historically 1998 to 2008. They left in 2009. Over that period, I worked with Tom. I had Blake's current position with a little different job. I was the executive director of the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority. Blake got a little different name and mission on how that works. But we weren't going to sit on our hands. So we wanted to keep trying to bring spring training games. I mean, the Japanese effort occurred in 2010. But like you mentioned earlier, Tom, a very tragic accident. Christina Taylor Green was tragically killed in the shooting. Debbie Giffords was a part of. John Green is a long, long time baseball scout, played at the U of A. And we all started putting our head together on what we could do. And just to honor them. And ultimately in 2011, the Dodgers played the Arizona Diamondbacks in an exhibition game as a fundraiser, a memorial fund for the Christina Taylor Green Memorial Fund. That year we also had the White Sox in Arizona play a spring training game. So we weren't completely devoid of baseball. But we had 3 years of fundraisers for the Christina Taylor Green Memorial Fund. In 2013, we had 11,118 when the Dodgers and Cubs played. And an average over those 3 years, over $100,000 was donated to the Memorial Fund. So it was something that you really felt good to be a part of. But like, for example, in 2012, the Brewers and Mariners played a game. The Rockies and San Diego played a game. And then the Dodgers played the Chicago White Sox. So there were some games going on. The Tucson Padres were in existence then. So our staff helped put the game on in conjunction with the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority. And big shout out, I mean, Tom, you know this, to Tom Tracy and Dan Schneider. Their work was tireless, and they always wanted to try and work with Major League Baseball and do things. And actually, in 2016, I don't know if you remember this, Tom, there was a split squad game between the White Sox and Diamondbacks. So it wasn't totally gone, but it was on its last leg, to say.
Well, and I have to say, and you know, and I know Blake is anxious to get going here, but I thank you for that memory, because we have to also applaud the community for coming out and supporting Christine Taylor Green and all of the teams that literally, if I recall correctly, Mike, there was some expense associated with this, but I don't recall ever seeing a bill. From the LA Dodgers when they came into town, I mean, they were all here to support Christine Taylor Green.
Yeah, the teams didn't charge anything.
That's right. Absolutely. And
back and read a story, and in the first year, Matt Kemp, who was a star in those years, said, "I'm not going to miss it. I want to be there. I want to support this." And Andre Ethier and guys like that. And Matt Kemp actually wound up playing all 3 years when the Dodgers came down here. Don Mattingly was the manager, so it wasn't a split squad game. It was the star players,
yes,
because they wanted to give back and they wanted to help with something that was a very, very meaningful project. And out of the money that was raised, there was parks that were built. There was a lot of different things that the Green family and the foundation really did to keep her name very visible with the life she lived.
Yeah, and that park still continues. And, of course, John, I don't believe the Memorial Fund is still around, but I remember him thanking wherever he could, whatever media outlet he could, about all of the efforts that were done to support and to help us remember her as well. So I want to switch gears a little bit, but thank you, Mike, for all your service and for all the things, because you were a big part of the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority. And Blake has been so nice to allow me, to throw a few thoughts here and there to him about that success. Now, I do want to mention one thing is that the South Koreans did hang out for a number of years and brought teams here, you know. Yeah, so and they're still around, right? So Blake's going to talk a little bit about that. So, Mike, again, thank you for all your efforts. And, you know, we don't, you know, just like when my big friend came to me and said, Tom, you really going to retire? We hope you don't completely retire. We hope you hang in there. Blake, so we're already at our second break, but we're going to get right back into the two segments here to talk about the Southern Arizona Sports Tourism and Film Authority are up to and how that relates to baseball. And then, of course, the ultimate is what is going on with the new team coming to town. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton. We'll be right back.
You can follow along with us on Facebook. 1030 The Voice is the name of the page, and YouTube, 1030 The Voice is the name of that channel. Like and subscribe and follow and all those good things, and you can be kept up to date with everything that's going on here at 1030 The Voice.
Well, good morning. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton, and we're talking about everything baseball here in Tucson and Southern Arizona. So thank you, Mike. Hang on there in case you want to mention anything. But we're at this point now where the Southern Arizona Sports Tourism and Film Authority we passed the torch of Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority. It's still around. But it was time to kind of broaden, and there was a group of us from the community as well as from the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority. We mentioned Tom Tracy and Dan Schneider, and there was, you know, a few other folks in there. Edgar, we can't forget about Edgar Soda, you know, because he was a big part of the Sports and Tourism Authority. Eddie Leon was a famous Major League Baseball player. He was part of the and then, of course, we had the Chamber and some other community leaders, and they actually ran or managed spring training for at least 2 years, and that led way to they had to have a charity. Every spring training team is connected to a charity who runs the gate, so to speak. And we had the Pima County on Aging, I believe, was the folks that ran it along with the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority. And then after that, quite frankly, it was a joint agreement between Pima County and the Chicago White Sox and the Arizona Diamondbacks. So I got to mention Jack Donovan, who was my primary contact when I got hired to come to Pima County to actually be the county liaison for spring training. And boy, that wasn't a job at all, man. I loved the March, but before that was February, March, and April. My assistant Catherine Strickland and myself were in charge of helping Jack Donovan and market spring training, and then every once in a while Mike Fader would let me go on the field and hit a few balls and run around and catch balls in the outfield. And you know what? I don't remember the outfield being that big. Of course, I wasn't that big either the last time I played the outfield. So here we are, we can't forget again about what Mike and how Francisco and them and brought together, this wonderful Vamos a Tucson event every October, and it spread out into Phoenix and other places in Arizona and Las Vegas and everything that Mike, but Blake, you've brought it kind of back home to Southern Arizona, and it's really starting to help some Southern Arizona communities.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to take any credit. It was a team effort, and I'm not in this position. I'm not sitting in this chair without Mike Fader. The things that he did for the community and that continues to do for the community set a standard at a very high level. And we're just, I think as a community, we have to be very grateful for Mike and for everything he's done. So that's the first thing I want to make sure. The other piece is you pretty much named off everybody else that I'm not in this chair without, right? So yourself, Tom, as a collaborative partner and friendship that we've had. Tom Tracy, who's my mentor. Dan Schneider, who is one of my closest confidants, who I probably talk to 12 times a day. and then Edgar, who thought I would be a good fit, and we talked about it and brought me to a meeting. And the other person that we haven't talked about is Shelley Duncan. Like, he was supposed to be the person in that chair, and obviously he's a AAA manager for the Yankees, but at the time I think he was a Blue Jays bench coach. So a lot of people have maneuvered and put us in positions for success, and nobody higher than Mike and everything that he's done. I think a key piece to remember too, because Mike brought it up, those conversations that they had very early on did lead to having Korean teams, right? Which we currently have. And there's still conversations with the Japanese League and the Nippon League about coming out here and doing some things. And it took a collaborative effort, still working with Jack Donovan to this day on a lot of things. So it's been great so far, right?
You have you'd have some community leaders and friendships that they want the community to succeed, but they also want you to succeed too as their friend.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you saying that almost makes me cry. Like, I don't know. As I get older, I cry at
remember
everything.
Remember, the camera's on.
But that's like emotionally, that's really. There's a lot of pride that I carry in that.
Well, you returned that, so thank you. So we want to make sure Matt doesn't bring the Kleenexes in here. So continue on with the Southern Arizona story.
Well, I wanted to ask Mike, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Can you talk about, because I think we hit on it a little bit, but you guys were really close on getting the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority was really close on getting 2 to 3 more teams for spring training in Tucson, and it got pretty far down the line. Am I correct in that?
Well, definitely correct. I mean, again, that was a big part of Tom and Dan. But that, you know, they talked to teams, you know, and close, I'm not sure about close, but aggressive for sure. There were, you know, you're never going to get one team. It was either going to be two or more, because they weren't going to be on the island by themselves down here, and that's really what it came down to, the time difference. And quite honestly, people kept building bigger and better in Phoenix. I mean, you know, when we had a nice facility here, then the Scottsdale builds one in the Indian Reservation of $150 million. What did ours cost? $60, $70 million?
$38 million. But...
Okay, well,
but that doesn't necessarily mean the size and the quality. It's all a matter of how the dollar escalated. But you're right. Everyone wanted a bigger clubhouse. Everybody wanted more training fields. And the money was out there with the Arizona Sports Authority, and they just handed you the keys. But I have to tell you, right, Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority, Mike, if I just can join in there for a minute, is actually put together an RFP for a three-team stadium, and the location most likely would have been Marana, and which would kind of split the difference between Phoenix. And I have to say, the RFP was professional. We were right up there with everybody else. But when you had you threw in the Native American money, you know, we probably didn't have a chance.
Well, and Blake, just I don't know if I'm supposed to say this. I think it came out, but the Baltimore Orioles were a team that was aggressively on it, and you know that, you know, all of a sudden then that didn't work out. But there were some serious presentations made to them.
Well, you have to remember that time, it was right after Jeb Bush. Florida was, remember, the Cactus League wasn't always 15 teams. And Florida wasn't keeping up their stadiums, and the teams were getting a little bit upset. And here's Arizona with Arizona tourism money and Sports Authority money, and they were building brand new stadiums, and the teams were coming over. And then finally, the state of Florida said, "That's enough." And they got government money, and now I understand that Major League Baseball has indicated that it's going to be a split 15-15. None of the stealing anymore.
That's correct, yeah. They're going to keep 15 in the Grapefruit League, 15 in Arizona. Now, the great thing is, and this speaks to what Mike's been doing forever, is that you're finding different ways of how to incorporate professional baseball in Southern Arizona. And that, you know, we're not sitting here without Mexican Baseball Fiesta. We're not sitting here without Mike's vision. And so for me, Southern Arizona Sports Tourism and Film Authority is six counties, right? In Southern Arizona, on Tribal Nation, six counties: Pinal, Pima, Santa Cruz, Cochise, Greenlee, and Graham. And the film piece and the workforce development piece, we don't really talk a lot, because every time I come on, people want to talk about baseball. Like Mike said earlier, that was the first question people would ask me. Every time I'd go out in a public manner, they would ask me, when is professional baseball coming back?
Me too.
I mean, that's all to Mike's point, we always have been and will always hopefully be somewhat of a baseball, professional baseball town. So my thought process is, looking at communities like an old spring training model, right? The old Arizona spring training model, where you had teams in Yuma, you had teams in Casa Grande. You know, if you've ever been to Francisco Grande in Casa Grande, it's unbelievable, because they still have the pool there from when the Giants were there. They've got all the pictures with Willie Mays and all the old Giants. It's just a really cool experience. Now they turn those fields into soccer fields, and FC Barcelona's doing a youth academy there, so it's worked out pretty well for them. But it's pretty incredible. So, in talking with Mexican Baseball Fiesta, the Gamas family, with Mike, the expansion thought process was looking at areas that could handle that. And, you know, we've identified a couple of them. And I talked about the idea of maybe looking at junior colleges that have somewhat of a stadium built there. And the first one that came to mind outside of Pima County was Central Arizona and Eastern Arizona. Douglas already has a game, so looking at those expansion. And so we took a trip up to Central Arizona College. It's the most storied, in my opinion, the most storied junior college in the United States. I mean, you think about the big leaguers that came out of there. When I was playing against them, they had Ian Kinsler at third base. You had Scotty Harrison in center field, and then you had Rich Harden was their number two arm. I mean, between those three guys, there's 34 years plus of major league experience, and that's three out of the nine players. It's much similar over the years. So, and they were open arms about the idea. They really think that's a great idea. So we're moving forward there. And then Bisbee and has Warren Ballpark, which is considered the oldest ballpark in America.
Oh, really?
I believe the first game ever played there was in 1908. And I don't want to quote me on that, because there's a historian, Mike, that we work with down there from the Friends of Warren Ballpark, and he will wring my neck if I get all that wrong.
It's a very visible stadium. As soon as you go into town, it's right there.
You walk into that stadium, and it's unlike anything else that exists, right? Because it's this old time. It has the wooden fences, the old stands, the players, where the players are from a dugout standpoint. It's just, 18 Hall of Famers have played there, Tom. I mean, it's crazy. And again, when we went down there, they were super excited about that.
We'll continue. This is the Morning Voice, and we're here with Blake and Mike, and we're talking about baseball. We'll be right back. Well, we're back for the final segment of the 7 o'clock hour, and I'm really excited because Victor's sitting here next to me, and he'll be on at 8:03. But we're going to we got this little segue into Victor's part of the show, and I'm just going to kind of turn it over to Blake. And thank you, Mike, for also being on the radio as well.
Mike, favorite. My pleasure.
Yeah. So, I mean, is this the first time you guys have met each other?
No, briefly at the press conference.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But Victor probably met 50 people that night.
So I'm gonna key in on one thing that you said earlier, right? That they've had a house here. Victor's a Tucsonan.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not somebody from the outside coming in and then leaving again. They're here, right? They're a part. They're a fabric. They want to be a part of the community. That's really number one for Tucson. From an important standpoint. So we thank
cares.
Him
he
greatly.
Cares about
he cares about the community. and people will learn what this team means, the Tucson baseball team to Tucson, what it means, and I'll explain it just a little bit. So when you're talking about levels of professional baseball, right, you've got Major League, Triple A, Double A, Single A, then you've got independent ball. We've had Triple A, we've had spring training. The Winter League for the Pacific League is the third largest league in the world, right? It's got a mix of Major League Baseball players. It's got a mix of AAA. It's a coveted winter league that you want to go after, right? So that was what I wanted. After I played in Hawaii, I wanted to play in Mexico. It was close to home, but it was really, really, really good competition. So when people think about that, I want people to understand you get a chance to see Major League Baseball players on the field in the wintertime in Tucson, Arizona. That is exceedingly important for our mission statement here, right? The second piece is...
And these are the A players. Pretty much,
these are. If you're from Mexico, right. You're playing in Mexico. If you go to the Dominican, you're seeing Ronald Acuña.
This is the top professional league. The top professional league in Mexico. It's not a college league. You know, which is okay.
No. I'm not saying former major league player. Right. I'm saying current major league baseball players are going to be on the field.
That straight.
Yeah. And so the other piece that you want to think about, because of the emphasis of this, is the Caribbean Series. And the Caribbean World Series is, outside of Major League Baseball World Series, is, I would say, the biggest event in the world for baseball. So you've got the Dominican Republic, you've got Venezuela, you've got Puerto Rico, and you've got Mexico, right? Ah. The winner of those, of all four of those leagues, now represent their country in the Caribbean World Series. And so now Tucson gets to be put in a position to compete for that and be a part of that and maybe host that, right? So we're never going to get a Super Bowl down here.
I mean, potentially that World Series could be here?
Could be held at Keno. Tucson, and we could potentially activate High Corbett as well, depending on what that season is. So
use
you have to
use both of them.
Everything we have. So we're never going to get a Super Bowl down here. This is pretty close to that economic impact of what a Super Bowl would be like in Tucson. So we're in really good position there. And the last thing is, Mike hit on it. I hit on it earlier. We're here. Baseball is back. In a season form, at a very, very high level, during a time of year when it's not 120 degrees outside, you can enjoy yourself, and you've got everything else in the community is activated, right? You could not ask for a better time frame. You couldn't ask for a better experience, and the people we do have to thank the most is the Cuevas family, right? We're not here without Victor, Victor Jr., the whole family making a decision that Tucson was the right place for a new team in the Winter League. Right, this is the first time they have had a team in the United States, and it's all because of the Cuevas family.
And Major League Baseball and the Winter League are co-partners; they're friends. In the sense they do share players back and forth.
Yeah, they want a good partner. There's a very good relationship.
We'll talk about that because it's not in the sense competitive because it's a different part of the year.
Yeah, and you're looking for you. It's not they're not competing, right?
And wouldn't you rather have a major league player not sitting around for 6 months, but been playing active, competitive baseball, staying in shape? No, it's no longer where the out of shape player comes in the spring training anymore, is it? That's been gone for a long time. Spring training's not to get in shape anymore. You're right. Part of the reason.
Well,
right? Yeah,
Tom. Let me ask you this question: would you rather if you're living in Phoenix or Maricopa County, playing in the Cactus League for a team, would you rather drive an hour and 20 minutes to 30 minutes south and play your winter ball in Tucson, or would you rather go to Venezuela? And now you have that opportunity, right?
I don't have to answer that.
And so now you have and you've got Sonora, Mexico, Sinaloa. I mean, baseball is the sport in northern Mexico. And now you're this close to Tucson.
Tucson has embraced the Mexican baseball, because remember the first year of the World Baseball Classic, the Mexican national team trained here, had exhibition games here, and we sold out every single time.
Yeah, I mean it's
and
incredible.
it's a pretty wild game too. we'll be talking about that. Well, what a pleasure to have you here. Blake and Mike, thank you so much, as always, for your expertise and explanation of the history of professional baseball. We're going to be back in just a few minutes we're going to continue to talk about baseball and what's going on with the new baseball team coming from Mexico and playing in the Winter League. So This is The Morning Voice, and I'm Tom Moulton, your host, and we'll see you back in just a few minutes. All right, we're back. I was too busy talking to our guests that are here in the studio, and we're so happy to have these two gentlemen. I got a chance to meet them not too long ago when we did the big press announcement about a brand new team coming here. Baseball is back. Professional baseball is back. And in the studio today is Victor Chavez. Thank you very much for coming. We really appreciate it. And he's the founder. We're saying the new Tucson baseball team right now, but it will have its name, mm-hmm. and that will be a lot easier. Mm-hmm. We can still say new. That's okay. And Frank Gomez is here, and we're going to just say Frank. Frank has a dad named Francisco, and Francisco was very engaged in the Mexican baseball fiesta, certainly from the beginning, I think, with Mike Fader. And I didn't know it was 13 years that's been going on. So that's amazing, and it's grown tremendously. And we talked a lot about that in the first hour of this show and how that kind of set the stage. But Mexican baseball is no stranger here in Tucson. As a matter of fact, at least my personal memory is when the World Baseball Classic Series started. It was developed by Major League Baseball. Somehow, the Mexican national team trained here and did a couple of, if I remember right, a couple of exhibition games. I can't remember who they played, but it was another national team. And what I remember is that I would say we ran out of seats. And, you know, and that's every, I guess, everybody's dream mm-hmm. is to sell out. Yes. And, you know, so being involved in spring training from 2001 to 2010 or so, we sold out not too many times, and was generally when the Cubs were in town. Cubs against the White Sox, Cubs against, I think it would have been the LA Dodgers that sold out. And then we had some charity games with some really great causes that sold out. But nothing was exciting, I have to tell you, than seeing the Mexican national team play. But I was talking to Frank, Victor, over breakfast when we first were meeting about how the SAAA and how this radio station can help promote the team. And Rubio Durazo came up. And he was such a champion here, being a U of A and playing for the U of A and a strong. And at that time, you might remember there was a gentleman that was completely in charge of the liaison with Mexico to bring people to see the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I can't remember his name now, but he was a great guy, introduced me to a lot of folks because we, you know, obviously, you know, 40% of our population here has strong roots from Mexico. Some are just literally been here for, you know, a few years. And the Spanish language is got to be our second language. When, you know, I do the Attractions Alliance brochure and I do it in Spanish. They want us to do it in French too, but I think when you're out and about in the community, as you are, because we mentioned Victor lives here and Frank lives here, they are Tucsonians, there's a lot of Spanish. So this is going to be interesting for me because when you have the teams and we're inviting the folks and we want to respect their primary language that they speak at the home, will there be segments of Spanish during the game introductions and so on?
Yes, we're thinking.
Put this real close to you, Vic. There yes. we go.
We're thinking both languages.
Okay,
it's
great.
It's going to be a challenge because you have to go in and out and. But we're thinking both languages because we have to tend to both demographics in the community.
Well, you know, there's wonderful Spanish stations here at Bustos Media, and I'm sure you're very familiar with them. And they do, and you might want to consult with them because on their stations, they have to do the very same thing. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking Spanglish here. Mm-hmm. We are talking fully respectful Spanish. Now, we know there's different dialects and what have you, but certainly it's not Spanglish. It's not Texican Spanish, as they say. and there's, you know, a lot of the radio stations, especially in Texas and in Arizona, respect both languages. It's very important, you know, that we respect our residents. You know, but you know what? It's okay to bring a little bit of Mexican culture to Tucson because let me just say, back in the day when my grandfather was Stan Musial's insurance agent, if you remember Stan. He was famous St. Louis, Missouri player, St. Louis Cardinals. And he, being his insurance agent, we got a chance to sit on the first baseline every time I visited my grandfather. And that was an exciting game. I'm not sure, you know, the games are as exciting because there was no really true player association at that time, so the players could do whatever they wanted to do, and they were always signing autographs all day, you know, between innings, after the game, before the game. They're like Louis Gonzalez. That famous guy would never leave a game until like 3 hours later because he wanted to sign everybody's program or whatever they had. So bringing so one of the things we talked about at the 7 o'clock hour is that baseball really hasn't left. Okay, we've had several teams to play exhibition games and everything, but calling someone their hometown, it's such a special. And I saw that with the Toros, and I saw that with the sign wideners, and a little bit with the Padres, even though we only knew they were going to be here for 3 years. So to bring back, you know, professional baseball, but I think you're doing more than that. You're also bringing in or bringing back to many of the folks that live here and they're from Mexico, the Mexican culture.
Yes.
And you know what? Arizona's and the Mexican culture mixes pretty darn good, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not just Mexican culture. I think there's a special bond in Arizona and Sonora.
Okay,
Sonora, northern Mexico. The community is like intertwined, you know. So that's a real issue.
Well, I also lived in San Antonio, and I think the same love for the folks, the people, and the same kind of closeness or bond exists. And actually, you know, when I told people, I came from via California, but after a while, I kept saying I came from San Antonio because, you know, I really enjoyed San Antonio and some of the same attributes, especially the hospitality spirit, the closeness to family. Very much in San Antonio, very much in Tucson. So, you know, when we greet you and we say, welcome to the Tucson family, that's pretty real, isn't it?
Yes.
And now the players, let's talk a little bit about the players because you have been, both of you, involved in a baseball team prior to this. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're creating this brand new baseball team in the sense because you never run a club. But so you have been in the Winter League, Mexican Winter League, for a number of years.
Yeah. The team has been in the family for over 30 years.
30 years,
and I've run the team for the past 15 years.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so you've kind of grown up in
this
business, haven't you?
Yes.
And you, I know you have, because your dad was a player before he was an owner and a coach.
He played for our team.
Oh, he did. Okay.
His last year played for our team.
So that's how the family kind of connected.
That year we won the championship.
Now, he's a pitcher?
Yeah, he was a pitcher.
It's amazing that almost all of the professional baseball players I know, Dan Schneider, I know, and Blake were pitchers. And I can remember I was 12 years old playing in Little League, brand new team, and the first question the coach asked, has anybody here ever pitched? And I thought, you know what? I'm tired of playing right field. So I raised my hand. Excuse me. And you know what? I turned out to be a pretty good pitcher. But I only had two pitches, though. I had the fast pitch, and I had the what do they call it? The off-speed pitch. Is it still called that, or is that a drop ball or whatever? Yeah. But I would fake people out thinking that another. I don't know. I have to tell you, I think the fastest I ever threw was maybe in the eighties. I never. I didn't have that whip of the because I broke my wrist. Probably 10 years when I was a little kid. But I tell you, I tricked the players because, and I watched it was a college World Series, okay, recently on TV. And I think the pitcher's favorite pitch of both teams was that ball that would come in and then it would just
drop,
okay? And I could do that pitch. Okay, and so I was so happy to see that. My wife heard me yelling, and she goes, "What's going on? Anything wrong?" And I said, "No, it's just I had a good pitch." We were talking about it in the first hour, is that I made it into college. Okay, but they want me to do a curveball. They want me to do all this stuff, and I just couldn't do it. So they traded me to the fast pitch softball league. At the college. And you know what? While it wasn't co-ed, we had a men's team and a women's team, and we got to play scrimmages all the time, and that was a blast. In college, co-ed baseball, these ladies could throw the ball faster than I could. It was hard to hit that because you're only, are you 60 feet, not 90? You're not very far away, and you're almost swinging by the time that ball is released, so your eye-hand coordination has to be pretty darn good. And, you know, I understand the camaraderie amongst the players, okay? Mm-hmm. And the fact that you both live here, but you're bringing a team from predominantly Sonora or all over Mexico?
No, it's all over Mexico.
Okay.
It's 10 teams. They go all the way to Guadalajara.
Okay. And that's cool. So they get – so it's very important that the Keenum Sports Complex is on their A-team for hospitality. Mm-hmm. And I have to – under Sarah, and you guys have spoke very highly of Sarah Horvitz, the new director of Keenum Sports Complex, thank goodness, and editorial there, that Sarah was my risk manager at Pima County for 17 – well, not quite 17 years, but maybe 14 years. And so she helped – I was the lease property manager of 14 properties owned by Pima County, and she helped make them all safe, okay? So I knew what her dedication was to making places safe. But that has translated so wonderfully into operating Keenum. Now, under the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority, we started the process of renovating a 20-year-old stadium, spent $5 million. Now, this is before Sarah got hold of it. Then a few years passed, and then Sarah said, we need to have a new field here. This grass is 20 years old. How many times can you fight winter rye? So as a result of that, in preparation of the World Baseball Classic coming back here with – four teams, wasn't it? But mm-hmm. The grass had to go. Other improvements had to have been made. And so you guys had been watching from the sides going, yeah, we like this.
Yes.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, of course, you've already been in conversation with her, I'm sure.
Yes.
So we're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back with two of my new friends, Victor and Frank. This is The Morning Voice. You got to hear an extended version of that song, and that's you guys are you know that song.
That's my good friend Gaston Mascareñas from our sister station La Poderosa, helped me out there, made me look real smart. Thank you, Gaston.
Well, we're here having fun with Victor and with Frank, and they're from the new Tucson, Mexico baseball team. Soon, we hope to have a name. I think you're doing that on social media and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. But you're coming to Tucson. You've been a team that's been operating for 30 years, you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And as the owner, you have a home here. Your dad had a home here. Frank lives here. You're Tucsonians. And it's one of the things, you know, I've been in town for maybe almost 30 years and had the opportunity to be part of some of the folks that we've brought to town. And you know what? One of the requirements always was, are you going to move here? Are you going to become a Tucsonian? And you know what? We don't have to ask that question because you're already a Tucsonian.
Yes, that's right.
Which means you know how important the Spanish and Mexican culture here is, and how close. I mean, we're just 45 minutes away from Nogales, and my wife does 4 trips a year. And she takes cash, because that only would limit her, ability to not break the family fortune. Now we don't have a fortune, but of course we do an annual trip down there and it's not in Hermosillo, but it's in right over the border, and it's a restaurant built right in the side of a mountain. And when you actually walk in the restaurant, your walls are
the mountain,
the cave.
Nogales?
And, yeah, and right outside, right inside, Nogales, yeah, Mexico.
Okay.
And I can't remember the name of it, but we go maybe every 4 years. You park and you have to cross railroad tracks, and then you're in the restaurant. So I'm sorry, I'm probably not helping. I'll probably remember as soon as I get in the car.
Fray Marcos?
It's a steak, very heavy beef. Yeah, very heavy beef. Lots of mariachis. Got to have mariachis.
It's not the Fray Marcos.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And we have a blast. So we're very connected to Mexico, and bringing a Mexican team here, but now it's going to be a Tucson team. That is pretty unique, isn't it?
Yes, very unique, very different. First time ever, we're making history. And I like to think more than bringing a team to Tucson is taking Tucson and putting it in the best caliber of baseball that is played in Mexico. That's, you know, another way of thinking it. We're bringing in Tucson to that league, to that high caliber league.
Yes.
And people from Tucson, Tucsonians, are going to be able to enjoy that league, you know, and root for their team. That's the thing will make us successful, and the challenge is to bring both cultures together at that venue.
Well, of course, that process has been going on for many, many years, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of respect, I think, because of that. And again, it's not our first Mexican baseball team that's played here,
Frank. Yeah, and to really add to that, this would be for the Mexican Baseball Fiesta the 14th year,
yes.
To which the family Cuevas have been participating on it since the beginning. So you kind of touched on that already, that Tucson is a baseball town, and for us, you know, we've been kind of setting up the stepping stones to, you know, bring baseball back and keep it in Tucson, like you mentioned. But this is bringing it back into a way I don't think we really had in years, where this is a team now for Tucson. We've been the test run for 13, 14 years to really, you know, bring that market, bring that essence of the Fiesta, you know, emulating what they achieved in the Mexican Pacific Winter League. So now to really take the next step, you know, it's been a baseball town without a baseball team of its own for a long time. And that's what we've been trying to be, the vanguard of baseball with the Mexican Baseball Fiesta. But this is the final step. This is the next, you know, the last step. Having the team now call Tucson its home, you know, for us is a dream come true, and it just, you know, it worked out perfectly from the World Baseball Classic, making those reworks to Kino, to the field. The video board now has a state-of-the-art video board at Pima County, so all those things came together to make it a little bit of an easier decision for the family Cuevas, having a house here and now being part of the Fiesta. Again, this is just the final step to bring the show here, and it's going to be during the best time of the year to go outside in Tucson.
And it is a show. There's no question about it. And the audience brings their family. Folks do come, you know, we'll travel north to our, it's pretty easy to get here. Felipe Garcia from Visit Tucson will be on constantly on that border to make sure that if they're here for baseball, just let them on in, okay?
That's something that is happening naturally. People from Sonora across northern Mexico, you know, come summer ends and they're starting to come in, you know, especially for the holiday season. So we're just giving them another reason on the classic question of, are we going to go to Tucson or Phoenix? Well, there's Mexican Pacific League in Tucson now and not in Phoenix. So that's more of the reasons to, again, just continue to put Tucson in the map, bring more reasons to be here, hand in hand with Visit Tucson to kind of always bring that traffic here. But having this, you know, not an event, not this 3-4 day, 8 day, you know, FOMO ridden event, but now a 3-4 month season with a championship, you know, in mind every single year, without the focus of, hey, if we win, are we going to lose the winning team we formed? That's not going to be the case for the Winter Pacific League. So it's just, it's all around excitement. And, you know, our message here is to really express what the league is about. It's a league more than 75 years old. It's a league that, you know, it's watched across all of the world. And that's the message. We've been bringing that preseason. Now this is the full show. And we want to make sure that people are aware of what that entails.
Okay, we'll pick up from that thought because the management, the ownership is on board. Now we got to get those players, because being out there in the community is very important for any sports team that's here, including the Tucson Roadrunners. We'll talk a little bit about why they've been successful. This is the Morning Voice, and we'll be right back.
Follow along on Facebook or YouTube. 1030 The Voice is the name of the page. We'll see you.
All right, we're back, and thank you, Matt, for... Hey, Matt, you didn't tell everybody where else we can be seen.
Facebook and YouTube. 1030 The Voice is the name of our channels on both platforms. And got a listener question. When does the season start, and how do you get tickets and all that good stuff? Who are some of the players?
Well, the season starts here in Tucson October 16th. That's the game number one, inauguration game, we like to call it. And we're planning a big event, big show. I mean, this will be our presentation card. So we're planning to do a big event, and we're going to play the Naranjeros de Hermosillo at that game.
Now, how many? So
and you can get tickets at Tucson Baseball.
Tucson Baseball Net. And you log in there, and then you'll have all the info. You can actually buy tickets right now there for that game, and you can also buy season tickets.
Yeah, and we'll go over that again on the fourth segment as well. And very important that the announcement was made a couple weeks ago, and the tickets are already on sale. What do you think is the your thoughts on the timeline of the naming of the team?
Well, we like to take the whole season to get the community really involved.
Oh, okay.
You know, really involved in that process. And because the name has to make sense with, you know, with the city, with the culture, with where was, you know, everything. And what a better way to do that than having the community involved in choosing their team name.
Well, you know, Mike Fader, who was on at 7 yes. o'clock, He was part of the naming of the Tucson Sugar Skulls.
Okay.
And if you haven't had a chat with him, he might be able to give you some good ideas, but it was definitely a community effort.
Yes.
And it was the culture. The image was from, a Mexican cultural event. And great costume character, or mascot, I guess you call him in sports. And you're going to meet Bob soon, or you already met Bob at the Roadrunners. He had to go through the same thing.
Okay.
They obviously both kept Tucson in the name because it's kind of like I was told in Economic Development 101 when I went to college, when it said start, there was a class called Starting a New Business. And one of the first things they said you had to do is don't hide what you do in the name of your company. So in this case is don't hide from where you're from,
okay,
who you're representing. But that's just me and my marketing 101 class talking. But there's and of course comes with that. I mean, The Mike had a great character for the Padres. You know, he looked like a Padre. The Rona Runners, super character. U of A had super character. And these is big part of your PR effort when you have these mascots.
I think he did a hand on Tuffy the Toro too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I forgot about that one. Yeah. Absolutely. You know. And that's a big part. But the players, we were starting to talk about the players, okay? And I would say some of the Major League Baseball players have forgot about why the team still exists, and it's called the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And so not saying Major League Baseball doesn't like and love their fans, but there's some things that are a little bit different from the baseball in the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s than there is now. And it seems to me that that warm feeling that you get with a player on a team of your favorite sports team is really keeps them coming back. It helps them watch TV. It helps them get to know the player when there's fan days and stuff like that. And I saw the old Major League Baseball customs come alive in a Mexican baseball team. And so how much encouragement do you have to do with the players? And I'm just curious if there's, I would presume it comes natural, but what are the things that you like your players to do once they come into town?
Yeah. I mean, I understand the MLB part of it.
Yes.
MLB, I understand. There's a lot of things why they don't do it as much as they used to, but we're in a position, we're not MLB.
Right. You're the third largest.
Yeah. We're in a position to encourage our players to do so. And they like to do it. I mean, actually just yesterday we had a meeting at Banner. We met with them. This was our second meeting with them.
Is this the one? Because you're right next door to a hospital.
Yeah, yeah. We went to the big one in Campbell.
Okay.
But one of the things we offered them is to bring in the players, with the kids, having a one-on-one with the kids to sign autograph, do all that work to motivate the kids and to make their day happier, and we're gonna do a lot of those things during the season. Is the way that we can bond with the community and have the community know their team better.
Now where your team was located for 30 years, that's quite the tradition to be in a community for that long.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're in a new community, and there's I was very happy to kind of hear a little bit of Blake's conversation with you about meeting with Bob Hoffman and maybe Kathy from the Sugar Skulls and because those folks were brand new to the community.
Okay.
And they one of the first things both of them did was, how can I get involved in the community? Mm-hmm. Besides the game.
Yep.
Okay, what boards do I need to be? What do I need to support? How can I can help you with my players, because they're all required to do. Even the coaches now at the college are constantly asked, what is this new celebrity status of college sports figures? What is that doing? Do I have to pay a fee when I used to have your basketball player come and visit with us and for my annual charity? And every time I've heard these coaches at a Rotary meeting or whatever, they said, if you need one of our players for your charity, you just call me. Okay?
Yeah.
You just call me.
It's the same here. We're going to integrate as soon as possible. We've been talking to the lady in charge of the Children's Museum too.
Yes.
To have
Hillary. I mean, yes.
Yes. So we're into it. I mean, we're really into it. We know the value in it.
Right. Right.
And we know the value in it.
You're getting excited here. That's good. That's all right. Because Matt had to tell me the same thing. Quit banging on the table, right, Matt? Because you get excited here, yes. And we're sitting, you know, we're a microphone, but now people can see you now. You're yes. Right over there, Victor. So stop banging on the table, Victor.
One of the great things about the community outreach now where the team is that, you know, being part of Mexican Baseball Fiesta and coming here, we've been invited for 14 years to all different events that
yes.
sometimes
oh, yeah.
didn't quite line up when we have an event that we're coming together to do. But now with the season, essentially all these opportunities that, you know, come across in the last 12, 15, you know, 13 years, that's things that we want to activate. Like, we're going to be in the back to school drive. We're going to be at, you know, at all the small events on both markets, you know, in downtown to be part of it. And one of the things that I've seen that I'm not sure even Victor would bring that up is that when the players have been here in the fiesta, you know, you're excited to be in Mexico in any of the big stadiums to have fans approach you. But we've been working and developing the fans here in Tucson for 13, 14 years. And the excitement of players from Mexico being here, playing at a professional level and having their fans waiting for an autographs. I've been having to, you know, debate on turning the lights off to have them come in during the Mexican Baseball Fiesta because they stay and they want to sign. They're as excited to be part and be, you know, in this pedestal of, you know, the closest there is to, you know, the big show. So it's very exciting. Again, we have, you know, a list of different events that we've been part of, a little bit different from you know, different ownerships. Victor Cuevas has lived in Tucson, has his house here. I graduated from Chinanga High School, went to U of A, graduated there, been doing baseball for 12 years now. So we know what events they are. And it's just activating that to be everywhere.
I think you even have a better advantage than the Roadrunners or the Sugar Skulls had in one sense, because they were brand new. They didn't have any exposure to Tucson like you have had with the Vamos Tucson event. And are some of the players, as you're putting the teams together, played in those during the 13 years that you were here? In October?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you're absolutely right. These players know Tucson.
Yeah.
They know the stadium. Mm-hmm. I think they're gonna love Sarah.
The big piece is that it's not an expansion team, so they're not gonna, you know, put something together to make it work.
That's right. It's not brand new.
That it's been, you know, tested with its good base. That now we're coming here. It's just, you know, let's add those pieces that, you know, I know I'm not the right guy to speak on that.
No, but the Padres, so think about how the Padres came and their AAA team, and they're like, well, we only know it's going to be for 2 or 3 years. But on the other hand, there's
That's a bummer.
That was a real bummer.
When you as a fan know
that, yeah, that you team's know, gonna move, you know. So, but Mike knows what makes a successful team, and it's getting to know the players, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Getting to know their families, getting to see them. So he had a heck of a chance, I'm thinking. A heck of a chance to get this done, but you, like you said, you have 13 years experience here, trials and tribulations, you know, not always successful, but now built on success from all the success you had, not only here but in Phoenix and Las Vegas, and oh my goodness, I mean, these players were exposed to many different opportunities here, and we're going to have them here in Tucson. We'll be right back. This is the Morning Voice. We're back to the last segment. We're here with Victor and Frank from the new Tucson baseball team, and coming to Keno Sports Complex in the fall. Hey, Tim, are you still on the phone? Okay, no problem. Let's take. We have 5 minutes left, guys, and let's talk about really some of the specifics. Okay, so there is a website.
Yes, TucsonBaseball.net. And you can follow us actually in all our social media, Tucson Baseball Team, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. And
I tell you, when you go on to your ChatGPT or whatever your AI is, just put in Mexican Baseball Team, and you're going to get pages and pages and pages. And this is wonderful because it's all positive stuff.
Okay.
It's all about the quotes that you guys have done, and how you're reaching out to the community. I think it's just wonderful opportunity, and the press has been really, really good about you coming, you know, bringing the team here. So Season, the first home game is when?
October the 16th.
Okay, great. And you're going to have kind of a really big kickoff event for that team?
Yes.
All right. So it'll be kind of like the Fiesta, we think, a lot of the elements of the Fiesta?
So the Fiesta will be October 2nd to the 5th.
Okay.
Our normal tradition.
Okay, great.
But then opening day, you know, the kind of the same way as the States, you know, there's the tradition to go above and beyond on opening day. And not only is it opening day, it's the first ever opening day. So that's kind of what we're thinking of, how to make it that show that exists in Mexico, exists in the States when it's opening day, you know, the culture around it. But we want to make it a spectacle. We want to make it that, you know, when that first pitch gets started, you're still off from, you know, the excitement of opening day and bringing the league to Tucson, to make it that, you know, that blend in between your American opening day to the Mexican.
It's a cultural event.
Exactly.
And it's more than the favorite pastime, you know, and you know, if you're expecting a normal Oscar Mayer wiener, you're just not going to get one. It's going to be the Sonoran dog, right? So I love Sonoran dogs, by the way. All right. So the players. There, you know, there has been some discussion, but I think we've really hit it hard between 7 and 8. This is a professional baseball team. It's from the third largest baseball organization, next to Major League Baseball being one, the Japanese Baseball League being number two, and the Winter League being number three. So all these players, okay, are top-notch players. They got to go through the same rigorous, interview, so to speak. You know, in other words, can you catch the ball and throw it? You know, can you hit the ball? I would imagine you do a lot of recruitment and a lot of training on your players.
Yes, actually, we start our training camp the first week of September.
Okay,
and there's a 6 weeks training camp, and we bring in a lot of players. We bring in about 50, 60 guys to make the cut. So
this is cream of the crop.
Yes.
And while sometimes there was some discussion about do I only see the main players for one or two innings during spring training, Major League Baseball spring training, there's a lot to say about we don't want them to get hurt and that kind of stuff. But you're going to see the A team here.
Yeah, you're going to see exactly.
You're not going to see the C team.
No.
What do they call that? The practice squad.
We don't have C teams.
So you're going to absolutely see the cream of the crop here. And these players come from all over Mexico.
Yes, they come from all over Mexico.
So that's fantastic. So we're going to learn a lot more about Mexico.
Another thing that is important to mention is every team in that league is allowed 8 foreigner players. 8 per team.
Okay.
So and by foreigner, I mean from all over the world.
Right.
Our strategy here, being in Tucson, we're going to try to make all the eight being Americans.
Okay. You know? Well, thank you for that. And I really thank you for being here.
Thank you.
The hour goes quick, doesn't it?
Yes.
We're excited. You know, October 16th will be here before you know it. And you guys are extremely busy. We hope they visit the attractions and all the folks that come up from Mexico. I know we have a strong relationship with Mexican tourism. So this is the Morning Voice. Dr. Ackerley will be here tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. And we'll see you next week from the Arizona Office of Tourism Governor's Conference on Tourism live from Scottsdale.